breeding Dendrobium orchids in Hawaii. Tessie, thank you very much.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for having me to be the last presenter of this session. I have been involved with the Dendrobium Orchid Breeding Program in various capacities since 1985, and I've been very fortunate to have been part of it and see trends in orchids as we get along the way. The value of the floriculture and nursery products in Hawaii is not as much as what Dr. Chang presented in Taiwan. We are very much, much smaller compared to the other flower-producing areas. So we had in 2015, which was the last time we had numbers presented, was our production was valued at $67.4 million. At its peak in 2007, our export, our floriculture and nursery products were valued at $108.7 million. That was at its peak. So why are we working with dendrobiums then? In the 1960s and up to the 70s, dendrobium was identified as a crop with potential to push the Hawaii agriculture economy. And so the breeding program at the University of Hawaii started in 1950s basically to do cytogenetics, but active breeding towards cut flower production started in the 1960s with the first commercial variety released in 1972. It takes about 6 to 7 years to produce one variety undergoing extensive testing. So 6 to 7 years, that's short compared to other crops, but certainly there are much faster floriculture crops other than that, but we've stuck with dendrobiums. And in the 1972 was when the first commercial cut flower variety was released. By the mid-80s, that's when breeding for potted plant dendrobiums started. Our program works. So for dendrobium potted plant, it's the second ranked in the production for our nursery products. So it's valued about at $3.5 million. And dendrobium cut flowers is valued about $1.2 million. So combined together with individual blossoms, it's about $5 million for 2015. We have focused mainly on cut and potted flowers. So this is the trend for production in 2007. That was when we had peak for everything, but peak production for both potted and cut was around 2006, and it has dropped tremendously for potted plants. Usually it's associated with poor economic situations, since people would rather buy food than flowers. However, if you notice, the trend for cut flowers is fairly flat. And that's because life events continue on despite a poor economy. People will still spend for weddings, whether or not the economy is poor or doing poorly. So we have examples here of cut flowers. I'm sorry. These are potted plants, these are cut flowers, and these are individual heads. Most of our potted plants, by the way, have over the years have become more and more imports from foreign countries, particularly Thailand, for potted dendrobium. However, for cut dendrobium, most of the production is still University of Hawaii produced varieties. So these are examples of our University of Hawaii released cut flower varieties. The unique feature of our varieties are that they are seed propagated, and we make this possible by using what Dr. Lenhart referred to earlier as amphidiploid parents. One of our most popular varieties is the white Uniwai mist. By and large, the way our program works is we do twofold functions. Number one is to produce, that means research and develop new varieties. And secondly, when we produce our seed propagated varieties, when we release that, we produce seed pods, technically capsules, to our growers as needed. So they will call up and say, the industry will call up our lab and say, we need so many seed pods to be delivered to them at a given date. So we pretty much get a handle as to what varieties are most requested based on what they phone in. And over the past 3 to 5 years, the number one variety that's most requested is Uniwai Mist. This variety on the this one. And the reason is that Uniwai Mist is very productive. If you see on this slide, this is a grading grid. And these are small, medium, large, and this variety produces predominantly large to extra large sprays and does command a greater price. In fact, in the wholesalers, this variety is $3 more per bunch than the other varieties. The white Uniwai mist is not totally white. As you can see, the stem or the peduncle has a slight tinge of purple. And this is increasingly popular with our floral designers. So they want to use that slight color in Uniwai mist. This is an example of an up-and-coming trend called Tropical Nouveau, and it benefits the flower producers because more and more the designs that are coming out now and especially featured in floral magazines such as Florist Review is to mix tropicals like the orchid with temperate such as roses or dahlias or peonies. So that's becoming more and more in fashion now. And that bodes well for both temperate flower producers and tropical flower producers. This is an example of some of the use of UH306 Uniwai Mist. So as individual heads in big display, in big event displays or as bridal bouquets, either in sprays or in using individual heads. So again, these are the varieties, and most of our varieties come in white, two-tone, and purple. So the building block of our breeding program is the use of intersectional hybrids, namely from the section Phalaenanthe, which the two species, Dendrobium phalaenopsis and Dendrobium bigibbum, are the most important to our breeding program. The second section that we use a lot of is Dendrobium spatulata with the species Dendrobium grantii and Dendrobium stratiotis. Not pictured here is Dendrobium gouldii, which is one of the parents of Dendrobium Jacqueline Thomas, which is the hybrid that gave rise to all our varieties. For potted plant, we use the section Laturia, namely the section species Macrophyllum and Spectabile, to create potted plant varieties. These are examples of the combinations between the section Phalaenanthe and Ceratobium. This is Dendrobium Jacqueline Thomas, 0584N, or the pink Dendrobium Jacqueline Thomas. This is Dendrobium Caesar between Dendrobium phalaenopsis and Dendrobium stratiotis. This is Dendrobium Neo Hawaii, again, between Dendrobium phalaenopsis and Dendrobium grantii from the spatulata section. This is a naturally occurring intersectional hybrid called Dendrobium superbiens, and we use this also for our breeding program. So what are amphidiploids? Essentially, amphidiploids are intersectional, interspecific F1 hybrids that have undergone spontaneous doubling. So you have two sets now of the chromosomes. It either arises from spontaneous doubling, and we can tell early on if we do an intersectional cross, and we look for the slower growing ones, because the amphidiploids or the tetraploids are slower growing compared to the diploids. So early on, we can predict based on vegetative growth, or we can artificially induce chromosome doubling with the use of mitotic poisons such as colchicine or orizalin. Most of the hybrids we use, the amphidiploids we use, were obtained by spontaneous doubling. So you need to have good eyes to catch which are the slower growing ones and use them. The reason why the amphidiploids are very useful is that we have better preferential pairing of genomes. Therefore, we come up with more uniform gametes. And this is an example of tetrad formation. So this is right before the pollen is formed. And if you have normal pollen development, then tetrad development, then you will have four. Occasionally, you'll have loose ones, loose chromosomes hanging around, and that one contributes to the partial sterility. But loose chromosomes or uneven distribution of chromosomes resulting in uneven sporid formation is typical of the diploid versus the amphidiploid. So we have basically increased fertility with the tetraploid. So because the amphidiploids are the building blocks, we are faced with challenges. That means to say every time we make the hybrid, we have to have the parent. And what are the challenges we face? First, we have to maintain the parent material. In many places, the maintenance of the parent material happens in live collections, and there's no backup in vitro collection. So in our case, we just received about 2 years ago a grant from the orchid growers on the Big Island that was funded by Hawaii County so we can conserve these parent materials because these are the ones that we need to make the hybrids. So it's a twofold conservation process. One, we have to maintain our live collections, and as Dr. Uchida mentioned in her talk, Fusarium is a very important disease, and we do have Fusarium in our greenhouse, and many of our parent materials do have it because these are materials that we have maintained from the 60s. So you have disease pressure. We have also accumulation of viruses happening in our parent material. So we do try to keep on propagating by separation and using back bulbs, and that is cumbersome also. So the second way we try to conserve our material is to go via tissue culture and have in vitro storage. We haven't gone into cryopreservation. We're just happy to have material in tissue culture. So anytime we have weak parent materials in the greenhouse, we go back to our in vitro collection, pot it out, and so we have more vigorous growing plant material. Part of the grant also involves hoping, making sure that we have clean material. We know that the virus can be transmitted via tissue culture, so the next step is to have our tissue cultured material screened for viruses, particularly Cymbidium mosaic virus, because that's the most prevalent virus in Dendrobium orchids. Okay. So let me backtrack. As I mentioned, those were the parent materials we needed. This is a very sensitive path. Okay. So let me backtrack and talk about this is a diploid, and this is what it looks like. When it undergoes chromosome doubling to make the tetraploid, we have increased size of the floral segments along with increased fertility. The nice thing about our amphidiploids is that we can also select for superior lines by selfing, and so we have parent material that have undergone selfing, and we have, this is one parent material we use that's inbred, and it was selfed again to make a second parent material we used. So for the whites, we're using Backross, actually a third generation Backross, and it is used to produce Neo Hawaii, crossed with Neo Hawaii to produce Jack Hawaii, which is our number two white cut flower. And this third generation inbred crossed with an acquisition from or an accession from Thailand makes our number one white variety. So again, it's very critical to maintain parent materials and even the intermediates in our breeding cycle, because we may want to self it again and look for superior lines. Okay. So these are the lines that we have placed in tissue culture. This particular one, Dendrobium superbiens, is quite difficult to place in culture. We also have placed this Dendrobium Caesar and two types of Jacqueline Concert. The Jacqueline Concert is not a true amphidiploid. It behaves somewhat like an amphidiploid because in its parental backgrounds, it almost has 50-50 of a species from Phalaenanthe and Ceratobium. Now, one of the challenges with amphidiploid breeding is that we are limited by what germplasm we have. So to this date, we haven't been successful in generating blue seed-propagated Dendrobium varieties. However, variation does occur sometimes, and this is an example of one of our seed-propagated varieties, Dendrobium Uniwai Royale, which is a purple one, and one of our growers found a mutation in the field and cloned this particular line. And so now we have a bluish. Remember, for flowers, when we talk blue, or particularly in orchids, we don't have a true blue similar to the lei Dr. Chang is wearing. Most of our blues are actually a different shade of purple, but on the bluer side. However, it is our goal that someday we might have a true blue, but most likely it won't be achieved through conventional breeding. And with that, I'd like to thank the generosity of our sponsors. We've received funding through the years with a federal floriculture research grant. We've had USDA hatch grant funds. And of course, grower support has been instrumental in, particularly in our germplasm conservation efforts. Thank you.